pray he ministers to you about. And I want to talk about peace. I'm not talking about world peace. I'm talking about inner peace or peace from within. And we're going to kind of get right into it. Some things about peace that I want us to know today. And if we don't get done with it, that's okay. We'll finish it next week. But you know, we have to understand something. Sometimes we look for peace in the wrong places. And I want to parallel the peace that comes from God with, I want to use the word rest. Because it's really, really hard sometimes to make decisions, to do things, make choices, when you're not at a place of inner rest. If everything around you and within you is chaotic, it's hard to make clear thought patterns work. But if everything around you is chaotic and you are at inner rest, what's around you seems to just back away and doesn't impact that ability. The problem is when within, we're not in that place of rest. And you know, over the last couple of years, the Lord's been just sharing, you know, reminding me, operate from a place of rest. You have to operate from a place of rest. And it's a lot harder than, it's a lot easier said than done. But this is what he wants for us. Why? Because it's in his rest. Because it's not just let me meditate and let me do some yoga or let me center myself. That's not what it's about. And in the current mental health world, the big thing right now is mindfulness, which is in a way a form of just focusing on the present, be mindful of what's happening right now, what you feel, what you hear, what you see, what you know, what's your current state of reality in that moment. But see, that's all great for the moment, but that doesn't create lasting rest within and the peace that God has for us. So as we get into it, we're going to look at four things today. Number one, peace. Peace that really helps us function from a place of rest is a covenant relationship with God. Now, what's a covenant? A covenant says, I commit to you in this relationship. I promise to you. I make this deal to you. Well, we see in Scripture, when God makes a covenant with his people, he says, I will do this if you do that. And the people would say, yes, I will do that, knowing that you are going to do this. He, just like his promises, this covenant is, here's a blessing if you obey my word in this covenant relationship. But within that relationship is, if I disobey his word, we talk about curses. You will be cursed. And at the very foundation of it, a curse is being apart from his covering. At the very base of that. And it can go beyond that, because when we're not in his covering, we're left open, unprotected in many, many ways. So a peace is a covenant relationship with God. Let's look at Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. So he says, the mountains can move. They can be moved. In other words, things around you could be messing up and crumbling. But what I think of you, the goodness and kindness that I think towards you, will never change. Nor shall my end of the bargain of my covenant with you of peace be removed. In other words, what I have for you still remains no matter what is going on around you. That's my end of the bargain. And when we realize that this is, in a way, a spiritual contract God has for us, a covenant relationship, that means it's always there for us if we do our part of this, which is what? Pursue him. Stay within his covering. Stay within this covenant relationship with Him. I mean, everything about God in Scripture is about relationship. That's it. Everything is about His relationship as Father to His sons and to His daughters. That's why He does everything He does, so that His sons and daughters can come back to their heavenly home. So it's all about that covenant relationship. So peace, first and foremost, is a covenant promise meant to last as long as we stay in covenant relationship with Him. But what that also means is, apart from Him, that peace won't be there. I'm not going to find it in yoga. I'm not going to find it in mindfulness and other forms of meditation. I'm not going to find it in zoning out in front of the TV. I'm not going to find it in other people. I'm going to find it in Him, in my relationship with Him. That means it's on me to stay within that covenant relationship with Jesus, to stay true to that. Colossians 3:15 says this, "And the peace of God, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful." So let that peace rule. For that to happen, stay in covenant. Let that dominate you. Stay in covenant. And how do you stay in covenant? You realize that you're part of His body, the one body of Christ, but also be thankful. Have you ever thought how being thankful, having a thankful heart, keeps us in perfect peace with Him? So if we're in perfect peace, the product of that is that I am at peace. So being thankful keeps me at that place where I am grateful to Him, where I recognize who I am, who He is, and what He is and means to my life, and what He is doing around me. And in doing so, I'm in perfect peace with Him. Because why? Scripture also says, enter His gates with what? Thanksgiving in your heart. So I'm in perfect peace because I'm in His presence. And if I'm in perfect peace with Him, I'm at peace, resting in His arms. Because why? Scripture says there's peace in His presence. I'm comforted in His presence. There's solace in His presence. He's my strong tower. I can go on with scriptures like that. But in His presence, I am at peace. And see, New Testament peace. In the Old Testament, peace is more of a covenant relationship. But the definition of peace in the New Testament is it's a reconciliation of heaven to earth. See, Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Most of the time we look at that and say, well, I guess I'm blessed as a peacemaker because I brokered peace between two people fighting. But that's not what calls us sons of God. That's an act or a byproduct of love or being sons and daughters of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, which leads us to be called sons of God, means that I have reconciled my heart with the truth of heaven, with the things of God, that I am reconciled with God. That's what peace is. Is that me? What God has established, I've lined myself up with as one. So I'm not going against the things of God. I'm not trying to do things my way and wanting His blessing. Instead, I'm saying, okay, God, I submit humbly to You. I line myself up with You. And therefore, in doing so, now I can be at peace. I can rest. I can operate from that place of rest because I am lined up with You. I'm in Your presence. Your thoughts are now my thoughts. Your heart is my heart. I have submitted my want to You. I have delighted myself in You. so that you will give me the desires of my heart that are now lined up with you. So I have submitted that. It's not peacekeepers that are blessed. It's the ones who make the peace with God, who reconcile with Him. And not just themselves, but those who broker peace between man's heart and God's heart. In other words, a revelation, revealing God to man. How do we reveal God to man? We make Him known. We make Him known in who He is in our lives by people seeing the result of being a peacemaker in my relationship with God, reconciling my life with God's heart for me. But also in doing so, His presence is now in me, and His presence can overflow through me. And I can now broker that peace in your life. I can release it in your life. I can lay hands and pray over you and ask God to release what He's given me into you and to bless you with that. Why? Because God wants to do that. God wants us to be His sons and daughters. In order to do so, we have to know Him. New Testament clearly says only the ones who have accepted Christ as their Savior, who have chosen God to be their Father, are called sons and daughters of God. So we broker that relationship. We lead people to that relationship with Jesus Christ. And that creates that peace that manifests His heart in our hearts. Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." That covenant relationship. Great peace, and that covenant relationship now is also built within the new covenant we have in Christ. So great peace have those who love the things of you, God, who do things your way, who have set their minds and their hearts to you to say, "Lord, it's not my will anymore to be done. It's your will. I choose to enter into a relationship with you and I seek you, Lord God, because I know you have and know what's best for me so that you can work in my life. I submit that to you right now. And I will have, not peace, great peace, who love your law, who love you, who stay within that relationship and do everything they can to maintain that healthy relationship with you, God." Psalm 37:37. "Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace." What makes a man blameless and upright in God's eyes? A relationship with Jesus. We put on His cloak of salvation, Scripture tells us, and His robe of righteousness. And that means we get ourselves right with Him when we enter into relationship with Him. We are blameless in His sight because we are clothed in His holiness. We are covered by the blood of Jesus that was shed on that cross. So when I receive that blood, when I accept what He has done for me, my sins have been washed clean. I'm forgiven. God hit restart in my life. And now I am considered holy and blameless in His eyes, not because of me, but because of Him. Of what He's done and is doing in this covenant relationship that we have together. I say to Jesus, "I accept you as my Lord." What does that mean? That means, "Jesus, I accept you as the one who I want to be the head of everything that I am, of my thoughts. You're my Savior. I accept you as my Savior. You saved me from eternal death. You saved me from where I was. And you hit restart and you cleaned me up. But now I accept you also as my Lord, as the one who I want on the throne of my heart and my mind to lead me in the decisions that I make because of that covenant relationship. And the decisions I make because you are Lord are actually the decisions you have established for me to make. You've laid out those plans. We go back to Jeremiah 29:11. I alone know the plans I have for you, or the thoughts I think of you, like we talked about last week, to bring you a future and a hope, to lead you in that path. So I know these what I already have in store for you. So as you stay in that covenant relationship with me, we'll walk together in the things you're dealing with every day, the good, the bad, and everything in between. We walk together. We rejoice and we in the great things. We overcome the difficult things together, and then we rejoice over overcoming them. In your name, Jesus. We do it together. But it can only be done together in this covenant relationship that we have together. That's the only way this can work. This will happen. So the first thing is, peace is a godly covenant. It is a covenant relationship with Him. Second thing, peace is a character trait. First, it's a character trait of God, right? Look at Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, etc. So it's a fruit of the Spirit. So it's part of His fruit. You know, and make no mistake, it's not fruits. It's fruit. It's one fruit. It's an element of one thing. I can't take it apart. It's one thing that part of its innate character is peace. Now, it's a fruit of the Spirit. Where does the Spirit come from? It's the Spirit of God. So it's part of His character trait. I promise you, God has never made a decision in the state of chaos of His own mind and heart. Everything He did was deliberate, conscientious, from His place of rest. Why? Because it's who He is. God cannot stop being love because God is love. So therefore, God cannot stop being at peace because it's part of His character. And His Spirit in us, this peace is now meant to be part of our character. Not what we do, not a thing we do, but a part of who we are. And this is the challenge as human beings. Why? Because we're emotional people. And God made us that way. But see, God Himself was perfect in that He was emotional, yet He was able, He is peace. Emotional, yet He is always peace. Even when in His wrath against Israel and against those who broken His laws and who walked away from Him, He still is peace. Look at Jesus. Even when He turned over the money changers in the temple and flipped out over the Pharisees, He was still at peace because He did it righteously to establish holiness and purity in that temple. Take something that was meant to be honoring of God and holy and pure before God. It was defiled, so He was cleaning it up. So it was deliberate. It was wasn't out of control rage or emotional response. Makes you think before you hit send on a text message or on your Facebook posts. Think about it. Because think about how you are being perceived. Because if we perceive Jesus as a raving lunatic operating outside the realm of peace, what right do I have then to have peace? How will I ever have peace? But He says, I have to go to the Father so you can have, He can send the Spirit that's within me onto you, and a character trait of his spirit is peace, that means it was within him. So he has given me what he has to move and operate and react and respond in that state of peace. And it's his fruit. It's what I'm supposed to have. And you know what's interesting too? I never thought about this till now. The fruit of the Spirit are actually called fruit of the Spirit. One of two things happens with fruit. Okay? One, you eat it. You eat the fruit. So you're meant to ingest it, digest it. And fruit has vitamins, minerals, all kinds of good nutrients that our body needs. So his fruit has what we need. Apple has a lot of vitamin C. His fruit has a lot of vitamin P. Yeah. It's what we need. The second thing with fruit, it grows. It's meant to grow. So, and it's meant to sustain and fill. And so it grows, and when it's perfect, we're meant to eat it, ingest it, receive it. And we'll read in a minute about his perfect peace. That's what Scripture says. He keeps us in perfect peace. So it's perfect. James 3:18. Now the fruit of righteousness, not fruits, again, fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Because fruit is also the result of something when we define what is the fruit of something. What's coming out of your effort? So we already read how mark the blameless man and observe the upright in Psalm 37, for the future of that man is peace. So in being blameless and upright in his eyes, our future of peace is established for us as we continue that covenant with him. Well, the fruit of being upright and blameless, which is righteousness, which means being in right standing with him, is sown in peace. It's sown in peace. That fruit comes together in peace because I'm able to operate from that place of rest. I'm able to respond, not hastily, not emotionally, but I can respond deliberately, knowing what foundation I'm responding on. And I see peace that is sown from it. It's sown in peace by those who, again, what? Make peace. Not keep peace. Make peace. So, the fruit of righteousness, being blameless and upright in his eyes, in my covenant relationship, it is sealed and sown in his peace by those who've already made peace between him. And it flows through. So it becomes sown. When you sow seeds, what are you doing? You're planting seeds so that new seeds, new fruit grow, right? So you being blameless and having that peace that's eternal that we just read about in Psalm 37, and walking in that righteousness, I am sowing, planting seeds of peace by those who already know how to make peace between God and themselves. So it is his character trait in me now that allows me to do this. Because why? All of a sudden, it's a part of who I am. See, they say if you want to start a habit, you have to do it 30 times or 30 days before it becomes a part of you and who you are. Well, same thing with his peace. It's going to take a little bit of time. I mean, his presence is in us, but we also have to pursue his presence continually in order for that to become a part of who we are, where it becomes part of our subconscious, and more than that, our spirit conscious, so that it's natural, not an unnatural thing that we do, but it becomes a natural way of being, a part of our character, where somebody says, yeah, that's a man of peace, or yeah, that's a woman of peace. She just always has it. The way she carries herself, the way he carries himself, the way they make decisions, the way they flow in their life, the way they deal with things. You can tell they're a praying person. They have something about them. They have a relationship with God, because they always seem to be walking in that, making those decisions that God has for them and pursuing him. And here's the thing, Ephesians 6:15. This is part of the armor of God. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shod your feet with the preparation. See, before we even get into that, have you ever thought about why the armor of God is positioned in Ephesians where it is? God doesn't do anything by chance. His inspiration to the writers of the scripture was not by chance. Let's look at this for a second. I'm not going to read the scripture, but I'm going to paraphrase it. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 talks about parent-child relationships. I'm sure that's always a peaceful relationship, right? That's always a very well relationship. Never any issues, never any dissension, never any turmoil that can lead to frustrations and anger and future outcomes. Especially no daddy or mommy issues as we grow up, right? And then right after that, Ephesians 6, 5 through 9 talks about working relationships, slaves and masters, or bond servants and masters. And I'm sure those are always extremely healthy. Never any issues there. I mean, you look at your boss, you're going, that's my best friend. Oh, I'll work 90 hours a week for you anytime. And you can cut my pay. That's great. Think about the positioning of the armor of God. The armor of God talks about, and even before he goes to describing the armor, he talks about standing against enemy attacks. It says stand. Or stand firm at least 4 or 5 times. Take your ground. Have your foundation strong. And that stand, as we've said before, is not a defensive posture, but it's kind of a stand where you're ready to press forward, where you've got your weight on your back leg ready to push forward and move forward. It's not a defensive position. It's an offensive position. Then he says, put on the armor. And he describes the armor. So the armor is meant to withstand everything of the enemy. And I'm not going to go into the whole armor itself. But understand something. How does the enemy attack us? He's going to attack us in relationships. Most of the major attacks that come from a relationship of some kind. Whether it's a family relationship, or a working relationship. And working relationship could include your relationship with your neighbors or anyone else around you. Even church family working relationships. The things that hurt us the most emotionally, the things that causes more internal scars that need internal healing come from relationships. Getting an IRS audit is not going to scar me for life. It'll take me off, but it won't scar me for life. But being repeatedly told you're worthless by somebody that holds an emotional value to you will scar you. Healing comes, we know, from God. Healing that works on the inside, part of that is peace. And part of putting on that armor is to overcome those things from within, because that's how the enemy is going to attack in relationships most of the time, because that's how he knows he will have the greatest amount of impact in your life to pull you away. Because my relationship with you in God's eyes is meant to reflect the goodness of my relationship with him, right? It's a byproduct of my relationship with him. But if I'm struggling with that peace or the things of a relationship, it's going to begin to affect how I perceive, how I relate to him in that covenant that we're supposed to have. Whether it's not supposed to happen that way, but because we're human, it does. Okay? So then he puts on the armor. So where does peace fit in with the armor? He said, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So blessed are the peacemakers, the ones who have that relationship with God already established. Okay? You are the blessed ones. Now, shod your feet with it so that then you can go out and present that gospel of peace. Now, why is it important to protect your feet? Why are the feet important? And this is something about a year ago, the Lord, or a year, year and a half ago, kind of began to make me think about. Thought about pro athletes. Whether you're a hitter, a quarterback, whatever you do, you need your legs under you. You're a basketball player. When you can't even make a jump shot on the court, announcers on TV will say, oh, his legs are getting tired. He doesn't get the height. And you can tell. A power hitter is always hitting home runs on a baseball field. It has nothing to do with your arm strength. It's all your base. It's all the way you crank your hips based on your legs. Same thing they talk about a quarterback with football. You know, if you want to get something on the ball, you've got to have stability. And we can go on with the different sports type analogies. But if you don't have your legs under you, you cannot function to the fullest that you need to function at. You won't have the foundation and the base to be the most accurate or to be most impactful. So he said, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Protect your feet. Make sure your feet are grounded and are strengthened in his peace. That you have that. Because see, if I have that peace in something, if I make a statement to you right now that I believe this to be true, and I have that peace within me that this is from God, therefore I stand on it, what you say is not going to make me a little wobbly at the knees. It's not going to shake me. What happens around me, what we read in the very first verse, the mountains are going to move. It's not going to make your knees knock and shake. Because I can stand knowing it's still okay because God said it, God's in me, God's in it. It is what he has established and what he is doing. So he's got me. So it is so important to have my feet strengthened in his peace, because then I can't move back. I won't be taken back. I won't be knocked back. I won't be swayed. But I can then continue just like the beginning part of the armor passage in Ephesians 6, I can continue to stand and push forward and be aggressive and take ground, because that's what I'm meant to do as a Christian. I'm meant to take ground, not hold my ground. Because I promise you, holding your ground will make you more tired than taking your ground. Believe it or not, it takes more energy sometimes to just stand and try to hold something back than if you're moving, trying to move it forward. I saw that happen. There's a new show called Titan, and I just watched this one thing of it. And I remember there was this horseshoe thing that was 30 feet off the ground, and two women were, one on each end with this thing in between them, almost like a tug of war thing, and their job is to push the other woman off this ledge. And they have a harness, obviously. And this one woman was just driving and driving and driving the other woman. And the other woman was just tired and getting tired and tired. And she tried to just hold on, and she could not hold on because it took more energy to try to hold her ground versus the woman who was driving, because now momentum comes with drive. Preparation of the gospel of peace. Shod your feet. Get your feet ready to let your momentum go forward, to go further, to go stronger. And that momentum happens in covenant relationship. That momentum happens, that driving force happens more perfectly, with more vigor and more life, when I stand in His peace, when it becomes a part of who I am. And that's important, because if it's not a part of who I am and part of what I do, that means someone can still change what I do. Another thought can still change the way I think, which could lead to a different action. But if it becomes a part of who I am, that's just the way I think. It's just the way I am. Because see, the way I think affects how I perceive things, which affects my attitude, which affects my behaviors. So if it just becomes a part of how I think and who I am, it's not going to be impacted by a separate thought or a separate thing that can try to sway me. I know that I know that I know. It's part of His character. And see, that's the thing. His armor is actually part of His character. God is our salvation, right? He is truth. He is spirit, the sword of the spirit. He is the word of God. He is righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. And God is peace. It's part of His character. I have two more points, but we're going to continue them next week. But right now, I want to ask that you stand with me. Just position your hearts in that receiving position. I know a lot is going on within each one of us right now, but just, if you need to close your eyes, just need to focus on the things of God, just do so right now. Holy Spirit, come. Because I believe right now that what God revealed to you, what He spoke to you about, He wants to act in it right here, right now. So you are the God of peace. You are peace. And you are the God, you are the dad that loves His children. Perfect covenant relationship is your heart's desire for us. So Father, would you release that right now? And we release it in your name. We release first, your peace over every heart, over every question, over every thought, over everything that each one of us has come in with or came in with this morning. That when we walk out of here, we walk out in your perfect peace. Yes, Lord. And I release a revelation to each person of what you want to do. Father, right now, just bless every heart, Father.
I just felt like I was supposed to share this testimony. For those of you who know, I had a very rough salvation process. I did not obey quickly. I was very slow to obey the pulling of the Lord, and I found great comfort when I finally read in the Psalms that said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, and I just kept going astray. That was my nature. But when I needed peace so bad, I used to just, okay, who's going to meet me at the bar? Because I'm going to find peace, because it's a natural reaction to want peace. So I would say, okay, who's going to meet me at the bar at 5 o'clock? Because the stuff that I dealt with today, I'm not doing this again. And I would meet whoever. I didn't care if I knew him, if I didn't know him, if I just, you know. And I would get peace because I would take in that spirit. And I know some of us, we're still react that way. It may not be drinking. It might be, I'm going to go and fill up on Facebook. I'm going to go and I'm going to fill up on gossiping. I'm going to go and I'm going to fill up on my anxiety pill. I'm going to go and I'm going to fill up on something else. And one day, I remember it, I had a choice. And I was like, this was the crummiest day in the world. And the thought came, I'm going to go drink. But then the thought came, that never works. I always wake up the next day and I feel worse, right? You feel bad. It's supposed to feel bad. When you drink like that, it's not supposed to feel good. It's not good for you. So I had it was a terrible study, but they were trying to teach us how to study the Word of God, and it was all I had. So I was like, I will take this, and God used it. And that day that I had a choice between going to the bar or literally opening up this book with scripture in it and reading it, and I chose that one time. And it gave me a little bit of oxygen. Does anybody need that oxygen? You just need that little bit, because then you know, oh, that worked. Then I want a little bit more. So then I started to go away from the regular music that I was listening to and get a little bit of that kind of oxygen, because then I wanted to hear it. Now I was tasting it and hearing it. Then I wanted some more. I wanted godly friends, because my old friends knew that kind of stuff. I still love them. I have that relationship with them, but I needed people of the Spirit, because I needed more oxygen and more peace. So I just, right now, I just released that strength from the Lord that says, I tried it that way. If it would have worked, I would have stuck with Jack Daniels. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. But God, it worked. And he worked, and then he built trust with me. And then you just keep going, because he's so, so good. So I just bless you with the ability to choose. When this week gets hard, instead of doing what you used to do, that you would choose Jesus, that you would pick up your Bible, that you would turn on Christian radio, that you would be thankful like Pastor Mike talked about, and just start blessing the Lord and saying, thank you, Lord, instead of complaining, that you would do that new thing that gives you a little bit of oxygen till you're filled with overflowing.
Yeah, Lord, thank you. Yeah, just stay in that worship place. And as you are, I'm going to call out some things God, Holy Spirit, put on my heart right now. Mentioned this earlier. Some of you try to find that temporary peace in writing things, whether it's on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, those kind of things, because it makes you feel good for the moment. But when you hit send, others, you may try to find that peace by talking down about other people, whether it's in gossiping or just in your own thoughts, even thinking down about other people, because it makes you feel better about yourself, and you're trying to get a taste of peace that way. I know for a long time, television, going brain dead on the TV was my reason. And if that's you, God wants to work in all these things. And as my wife mentioned, you know, whether it's alcohol or drugs or unhealthy relationships, Lord wants to change that. He wants to give you his perfect peace. And that comes from a relationship with him and only him. So Father, just come right now. Just minister to every heart. You're not going to find peace in a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or a husband or a wife, or a son or a daughter. You're going to find peace in Christ, in his fruit, in his Spirit. So Lord, we just release that right now over each person here, over all of us. right now. And I know this is odd, but I feel like there may be one or more people here who you need to release that peace right now to somebody on your heart who isn't here. So go ahead and just pray that out right now. Release that. If brother, sister, friend, mom, dad, whoever it might be, just release that over them. Maybe someone you know, a couple you know, struggling in their marriage, and they need that. Just release that over them. You have that authority in Jesus to do that right now. If you carry His peace, you can release His peace. So just release it over them right now. Maybe it's a medical condition. Maybe it's just severe financial stress. Whatever it might be, it's His peace. Release it over yourself, over them, over your family. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. It's released in your name. I don't feel we're supposed to break up into our small groups today. What I feel like we're supposed to do is just lay hands on a person next to us and just release peace over them. Practice releasing peace and pray over them. Whoever they are, you don't need to know what they're going through or what it is, but just lay hands and just release peace over them.